Morning.
Good morning,
and welcome in again to Long Meadow Church, and brother, welcome to you on that side of the camera in video land where the worldwide television studios of Long Meadow reach, which I think is just around the corner. But our sermon today is titled Under Lock and Key, and our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. While you're looking that up, a particular preacher woke up on a morning much like this, a Sunday morning, just beautiful and calm and crisp, and decided this is the perfect morning for me to go golfing. So he called the church, he said, I'm out sick, and he slipped off out to the links, and the angels in heaven, and I think this might be how it happens, and the angels in heaven saw him shirking his duties and ran off to God and said, God, look, 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 look. God parted the great viewer and looked down upon this pastor who had skipped out of church on a Sunday morning to go play golf. What are you going to do about it? And God said, well, and the preacher got out there on the first tee, lined up and smacked the whistler right down the aisleway. That thing landed 15 yards from the cup on a 400-yard shot. And God went like that and on his next putt in the cup. Three tees later, on a 150-yarder, the preacher reared back and smacked a hole-in-one. God made it happen. The angels are watching this, looking at him, watching this, looking at him. The man continues on playing. He gets around there to hole number 18, and he says, this is the greatest game of golf I have ever played in my life. I can't believe it! And the angels are watching it, and on that last hole, he knocks that ball in on 500 yards in two strokes. And he smiles. He puts his club away. And he's starting to walk off the green. And the angels look down and they look at God. And they said, well, you helped him do that. You helped him do everything. What are you going to do? And God looked at him and smiled and said, who's he going to tell? Under lock and key, Luke 21, verse 5, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign they are about to take place? And he replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, I am he. And the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witness to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you, I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. Verse 18. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Father, strengthen this message that comes from you to our hearts. Let it be not jumbled, but let it make sense. Let it be clear. Let it be lifting. Let it give us direction for this week to come. And let it calm us and remind us that you are in control and your precious Son Jesus saved us. In his name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. $1,950.82. $1,950.82 right now, today, is what it would take if you was to toddle off down to the local dispensary and buy yourself 1 ounce of gold. $1,950.82. Now, if you was of such a mind, you could go buy one of them gold bars that we always see in the movie, you know, that everybody's trying to get away with and make themselves rich. That size bar is an exercise bar. It weighs 400 troy ounces, which, if you don't understand what that means, that's 27 pounds, give or take. One bar, about so big, 27 pounds of gold. Now, if 1 ounce ain't good enough for you, and you need a little bit more, you can go buy a 400 troy ounce bar of gold today, at today's price, for $780,000. Anybody got that kind of change in your pocket? If you do, Christmas is coming up, and my size is 40 by 60 by 12 shop, just in case. Fort Knox, located down there in Kentucky, just outside of Elizabethtown, is where the gold is kept. It's called the Bullion Depository. I always mess that word up. It has been the official gold reserve, and it has been well contained. The 109,000 acre, 170 square mile base covers three different counties. It's named in honor of Henry Knox, who was the chief artillery designer for the American Revolutionary War and the United States' first Secretary of War. The camp was extended in 1918 to encompass more ground until it reached that 109,000 acres. And in 1936, gold was sent there by, get this, mail. They put it in mail trucks and carried it there and started depositing it. During 1941, the Pearl Harbor invasion caused a sudden shift in saving precious resources. And so a special convoy that carried the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Magna Carta, and the written Gettysburg Address from Lincoln were sent there to stay until the war was over. At present, the Bullion Depository holds 147 million ounces of gold. Half the gold in the United States is in that building. They keep other stuff there that they don't list. In 1941, at the height of it, it held 700 million ounces of gold. And gold doesn't come out of there except in extremely small quantities for testing for purity. And by extremely small quantities, they bring it out of there in micrograms. I don't even know how small that is. Now, if you're thinking about it, and you now know me, and you know I have been, you wonder, how close can you get to that building before you get in trouble? Anybody else ever wonder that besides me? Go ahead and put your hands up. Gee, look, Bud and Bubby did it. Randy, you tried to, but Kathy looked over at you. She was going to smack you. Come on now. You know you want to get up there close to it just to get a look at that building. I think they probably have my picture already, that if I get within 10 country miles of it, they're going to show up to turn me back around. But if you think you're going to go down there and you think you're going to get near the building that you can see, it is surrounded by a steel fence. The building is made of concrete-lined granite and strengthening steel to withstand attacks the likes of which you can't fathom. It's equipped with the latest and most protective devices. Nobody's really sure what they are, but the rumors persist that it has vaults that are loaded with landmines, and the ground is electrified, and there's laser-triggered guns that'll go off if you try to get too close. There are tanks that roll around the grounds at a regular interval, and if you come within too close to it, they'll spin one of them giant guns around and encourage you to turn around. There's one guard at each box of the building's four corners. They'll never tell you that it is one of the, it is the top 10 secret unknowable government operation. There's 40,000 soldiers that work this thing and their families. They've become their own city. The building has its own emergency power plant. It has its own water. It is completely self-sustained. The door to the vault, nobody's really sure, but the rumors are that the door to the vault is made of steel and concrete and weighs 20 tons. And no single person knows how to get in. Instead, there is a certain level of staff members, 10 deep, that have several combinations. And they have to engage each one of them separately just to get that door open. Suffice it to say, the gold in that building is under lock and key. Now, when I started thinking about this, I had heard this scripture read out, and they kind of added more to it that I didn't know that it was appropriate yet. But when I was reading it, I got to thinking, oh, under lock and key, under lock and key. Where's that come from? How can you be under lock and have the key at the same time? Isn't that kind of defeating the purpose? Here's the lock. I've got the key. I can just let myself. We ought to have a cookie jar at home that's under lock and key. Only I'll never see that key. It's defined as something kept in a container, a room, or a place which has been completely and utterly secured. In case you're wondering what that is, that's our salvation. This week I keep getting this question. I don't know why. I guess everything over there is ramping everybody up. And it's funny to me because people are getting scared. And they keep coming up to me and they ask me this question. Paul, yes, what do you think about what's going on? I can't exactly answer that. So I say, well, some of my responses are, well, I see the price of bacon is rising again. And they'll look at me for a minute. Now, what do you think of what's going on? Well, I think the trees are looking awful pretty this fall. Or, man, I wish it would quit raining on the weekends and rain during the week. That's what I think's going on. And finally, because we're in that kind of a season, and somebody will have the fun time to say to me, Paul, what do you think's going on? Well, I'll answer them. I happen to think that candy corn is a legitimate candy. Don't you shake your heads at me. Then they'll say, Paul, you know what I mean. To which I'll respond, well, do you know Jesus? What are you so nervous about? Seriously, I don't think about it a lot. I mean, sure, I do. Some, I guess, because it is kind of fascinating. It is kind of wonderful, wondering to me that what's going on over there is going on. And that suddenly it is causing people to get scared, causing people to ask that question, is this it? Is this it? And I have to tell them, yep, this is it. What do you mean? I said, well, it's always been it. It's been it since the beginning. Do you know Jesus? Are you ready? Here's what I think. In Luke chapter, and I marked all of them because I want to read them. In Luke chapter 23, these simple words. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. When he said this, he had breathed his last. John 19, verse 29. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Matthew 27, 50, "And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." And in Mark 15, verse 37, "And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last." These four Gospels all tell the exact same thing. Do you understand what they tell you? They tell you that when he died, you, if you chose to believe in him, you are now under Jesus' lock and key. You are now under lock and key. Four Gospels all said the same thing. They agreed down the line that Jesus Christ was born, walked on this earth, performed miracles, continued to tell people who he was, regardless of what they did, and then died a horrible, horrible death as the sacrifice for all mankind so we could be saved. You know what the other thing these four Gospels tell us? 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb. That's why I don't pay attention to a lot. Because at some point in time, my brain cleared up enough that I began to see the truth. That I began to understand that the only way for me to get out of the situation I was in was to hand everything over to Jesus and say, "Here, I can't do this. I've made a mess of everything." And I got news for you. When I finally took that walk the second time many years ago, now 17, 18, 19 years later, whatever it is, guess what? I'm still making a mess of everything. But it's a little less. And it's a little more knowledgeable. And it's a little more comfort to me that my name, Paul Leatherman III, my soul is under lock and key with Jesus Christ. In this scripture, the disciples are looking at the temple saying how beautiful it is. Isn't it wonderful? Look at it. All the gifts that are all over it. Look at all the stones and the way it was cut. And look how wonderful it was built. It's almost impenetrable. It's going to stand forever. Jesus said, "No, it ain't." He said, "As for what you see, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another, and every one of them thrown down." Now we know he was talking about himself. But he was also talking about what we built prior to him. Jesus was letting us know that he had everything we needed to live. I love that verse where he says, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near." In the past 3 weeks, how many people have heard the time is near? This is it. We're out of here. This is the moment. It could be. I don't know. They haven't called my private line to get my opinion from up there yet. Here's what I do know. That it's okay if it is. If we're sitting here right now, if you're watching me right now, if we're standing here and all of a sudden that trumpet sounds, we're under lock and key. We are saved. And that's the thing you need to focus on. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus is saying, don't follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened. You are under lock and key with me. The things must happen, but the end will not come right away. Nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, earthquakes, famine, pestilence, fearful events, and great signs from the heavens. None of that has truly started. Now, I understand that what's going on over there causes everybody to worry, and I'm glad that people will ask that question. But before all this, people will lay hands on you. They'll persecute you. They'll throw you in front of people and they'll say, do you claim the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Do you claim him forever? Yes, I do. People will turn against you that are closest to you that you cannot believe. Jesus says some of you, talking to the disciples, will die, but Jesus was also talking to those who will come afterwards to continue to proclaim his name where they don't want to hear it. But the most important part is to remind yourself. In verse 18, not a hair of your head will perish. Will perish. I want you to understand what he just said in that line. He did not say won't be harmed. He did not say you won't suffer. He did not say at times people will be after you. But he said won't perish means you won't die. By standing firm, you will gain life. You are now under lock and key. And regardless of what they try, being under lock and key with Jesus Christ is 5 times, million times, a gajillion times, is that a word, more secure than Fort Knox. We just sang that song. Lord, you are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares to you. I'm happy that I am in that place. I've told this story before. I may have told it recently. But it bears a reminder. All this stuff that's going on around us, H.A. Ironside, in his book Illustrations of the Bible Truth, said one of the first gospel illustrations that ever made an impression on me was a story I heard an old preacher tell when I was 9 years old. It was the day of the pioneers who were making their way across the central states to a distant place that had opened up for homesteading. They traveled in covered wagons pulled by lumbering oxen or slow horses. Things were slow. And one day, off in the distance, they saw a long line of smoke stretching out for miles. They knew what it meant. The dried prairie grass was on fire, burning and headed toward them. It wouldn't be too long before the flames would be upon them. Only one man seemed to have an understanding of what could be done. They couldn't turn around and go back to the river. They'd never make it. So he gave the order to get behind them and set fire to the grass behind the wagons. And when the space was burned over, everyone moved back over the burned over area. As the flames roared on toward them from the west, the little girl with him cried out in terror, "Are you sure we're not going to be burned up?" And the man looked at her lovingly and said, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has already been." What a picture of our Christ. What a thought of us being under lock and key within his very heart. Wherever the flames have been, they're not going to get us anymore. All the trips and triggers and security, it keeps humans from getting this great prize at Fort Knox. And yet here we are with something that cannot be measured. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, a brash and gallant young man who was leading an army, who would later on lead the nation, Theodore Roosevelt, came to her. He wanted to buy food for his sick and wounded Rough Riders, but she refused to sell him any. No. Roosevelt was perplexed. His men needed the help, and he was prepared to pay for it out of his own funds. When he asked someone why he could not buy the supplies, he was told, "Colonel, just ask for it." A smile broke over his face, and now he understood the provisions were not for sale. All he had to do was simply ask, and it would be given freely. Brothers and sisters, all we have to do to be under lock and key, to be safely put with him against everything else that's going on, to help us ease ourselves through these times of trouble, is remember that we ask Jesus into our heart and he saved us and locked us down forever. That's the message we take out there to those that are troubled. Do you know Jesus? Let me show you where peace and comfort is. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. You have been saved, Jesus says. And you are now under lock and key with me now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, we are troubled. And yet we need not be so much. We are reminded that what we have is greater than anything can be measured. And it's not locked up so hard that we can't just walk up and ask for it, be given freely. Father, through the name of Jesus, I pray that those who do not know him come to know him. That they can have that peace. That those that are watching this sermon finally say, that's enough. Jesus, please take me and hold me now and forever. Put me under lock and key. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. And we thank you for the brothers and sisters here. May this message resonate in their hearts. May they be strengthened and taken out from here where they may talk of it. And may his gospel, may Jesus' word be known stronger and stronger. In these things I pray. Amen. If you don't know, this bench is open. If you do know, tell someone about it. When they come up to you and say, what do you think's going on? Do you know my Jesus? Brothers and sisters, I pray for your strength in this week and every day to come, that you would be watched over and kept in his name.